This week's Castobras podcast with a K was recorded before an international audience.
Ready?
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. I've got a lot of blue on my iPad at the moment, so I don't think the show's started yet. So, I mean, according to my clock, it's 6:58. So they must be very near the end of this.
Yeah, well, you can see it on the back of my television.
Yeah. Well, I can't really.
No, you can't.
Far too small.
Yeah, fair point.
And illegal. And I'm illegal. Actually not looking at that point. So this is the run-up. We're doing a little run-up now to the BBC broadcast, which is going to be .2 Live, The Next Doctor, in which we will learn the identity of the 12th Doctor Who. So, dear listener, you are perhaps today a viewer. Perhaps you're already listening to this through iTunes or Stitcher.com.
Oh, this comes through Stitcher and iTunes?
Well, what we'll be doing, James,
oh, right,
is converting
see.
The video to MP3 later on. So we can't do it live through that. We're going to do it live through Google Hangouts and YouTube. So if you're viewing on YouTube at the moment, hello from me, and I think hello from James as well. James probably
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, okay.
It's good of you. Thank you. And that's a haunted aquarium you can see behind James. It is, in fact, a TV.
Yes, showing that
it does look like an aquarium at the moment.
It does indeed.
It isn't showing anything that could possibly be construed as illegal broadcasting of anything.
Thanks to Gamma. Thanks to intense gamma light and slow FPS.
The only person who can see what's on it is James.
Actually, I can't.
In his little sort of like strange 8-bit world.
Yeah. Yes, it is a bit of an 8-bit world.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine if we'd had webcams in those days.
Oh, no, I can't. Why? What would be so good about that? I can't think of anything.
It'd just be weird, wouldn't it? If we had done one, how different might things have been? I had a dream when I was a kid that I had a book, and it must
you
have been inspired.
Book?
Yeah, this particular book. It must have been inspired by Choose Your Own Adventure books. I didn't have to turn the page. I just had to press the numbers. And look where are we now?
I know. It's mad, isn't it? I like the way Star Trek keeps preempting everything. You know, like, you know, I mean, not just about the old communicators, but, well, we've gone past those. We don't use them, do we? We don't use flip-ups anymore. We're beyond that. But like tablets, like in the next generation.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So if we keep on this rate of progression on the basics of Star Trek, it won't be long before we avoid having any references to homosexuality in our culture.
Was Gene Roddenberry a time traveller?
I don't know, but the show seems to have always had a strange lack of homosexuality in it, I've noticed.
Maybe it wasn't a lack of it. Maybe it was just, you know.
Maybe it's, yes, it's so obvious that they don't need to talk about it.
Not spoken about it.
Yeah, not talking about it, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Who knows? Now, this is a special occasion.
Is it?
If we get back to Doctor. Well, yeah, we're going to learn the identity of the 12th Doctor. Now, it might be that your opinion of this is that there's perhaps an amount of shark jumping taking place with the fanfare and the hoo-ha that's surrounding this.
I would say there's a certain amount of thrilldom firing up and down the thrill poles of the PR section of the BBC.
Yes.
I mean, basically, they're creating a PR event out of nothing, really. But then in the world of Strictly Come Dancing and X Factor, you know, it's not new, is it?
It's not new, but of course, Doctor Who's not light entertainment and has successfully been not light entertainment since it came back. So,
well, absolutely. I mean, this is a first, isn't it? I mean, I don't think we've ever had a new Doctor before, so I'm quite excited about this. Are you excited about it? I mean,
we've never had a new Doctor.
Have you? Yeah. Well, this is what I'm getting the feeling. I'm reading Twitter and watching the news and reading everything. It seems like we've never had a new Doctor before. This is like, really, it's amazing. Actually, quite seriously, it's amazing for the 12th. It is the 12th, isn't it? Or even possibly...
Whoever comes along is going to be the 12th Doctor. I don't think we need to concern ourselves with John Hurt. I think that's...
Well, okay, let's do that anyway, and let's make it 13. Let's go with Cushing as well, so let's make it 14.
All right.
Trevor Martin, because Peter Haining always had a thing about Trevor Martin, so that's another one. We could go and go David Banks. He played the Doctor, didn't he?
He did,
Ultimate Adventure. And then, of course, we've got the whole load from The Curse of Fatal Death. So we've had a fair few Doctors in our time, really, haven't we?
We have indeed. Now, I see I'm watching on digital. You're presumably watching with an aerial.
Because
I can see the show beginning behind you. No, yeah. I can't, actually. But I'm still enjoying, and I use the word loosely, a trailer for That Puppet Game Show, which starts next Saturday at 6:45 and looks absolutely dreadful.
Oh, who cares? Doctor Who's on.
So you are going to learn before me the identity of the 12th Doctor.
Yeah, but I can't concentrate on this. I'm too busy looking at you.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm so handsome, aren't
I? I miss Brian. I thought Brian would be here for this.
It's a shame Brian hasn't been able to make it. But let's just switch to the main event for a moment. Doctor Who Live has started.
Yeah, I've now got my attention on Doctor Who, not you.
And they're giving us a bit of bump about, you know, where Doctor Who has been in the past 50 years, 50th anniversary, of course. Now, you might be quite capable of watching this on your own TV. Why you're listening to us right now, God only knows. But if you are, very much welcome, and I hope you enjoy what we have to say about the proceedings.
And if you're watching it after, that's pretty cool as well, and possibly far more sensible. Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Probably. I should add that you will notice that I'm drinking.
You are, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's ginger beer. I only discovered ginger beer, really, after watching the Android Invasion. So it makes sense that we should be drinking it today.
This ridiculous amount of triviality over everyone's favourite Doctor Who theme. I've actually got some Leaping Sherbet lemons.
Have you?
Yes, which I can't really, I shouldn't advertise, but they are what I'm having. I thought I'd be a little more grown up than you. Ginger beer. What's that like for 7-year-olds? Sherbets are far more 9-year-old.
Well, this ginger beer is certainly not for 7-year-olds because it's crappy, it's alcoholic.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Well, nice product placement.
Yes, I'm hoping to get a crate.
But Stitcher. Yeah,
we don't know. Stitcher.com, of course. You can listen to the podcast later on through Stitcher.com. Yeah. I've got Audio Boo as well.
Audio Boo.
Yeah.
That's a bit like Stitcher.com.
It's a little bit, but they tend to retweet us a bit more. So, the show started. We're presumably going to get Zoe Ball bounding onto the stage.
This is the time when we talk, because Zoe Ball never has anything really
vaguely interesting to say, perhaps, unless she's talking about her father.
Absolutely. Would he have been a good doctor? He's been quite good, isn't he, Johnny Ball?
He started off in stand-up. I was reading in the Les Dawson biography I'm reading. Yeah, he was a contemporary of Les Dawson's before he went into Play School and Johnny Ball Reveals All and others Think of a Number and all that sort of thing, yeah.
See, the real question tonight, though, when we've got, the TARDIS and the Doctor and everything, this sherbet lemon sweet, if I put it up there, is it too big to eat during this? Do you think it will actually inhibit my ability to talk?
I think it will. I think it's going to rattle
against it. It is quite sizable.
I think you're going to have problems with that,
You see a ratio of mouth to sweet.
Yeah, unless you've got experience in that area, I would leave it alone.
I have no experience in that area, none whatsoever.
I'd certainly leave it alone, yeah.
Certainly will.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that Zoe Ball, this is purely a critical thing, and I'm possibly being a little bit bitchy here. She seems to have the same stylist as Claudia Winkleman and that other woman. It's very heavy on the eyeliner there. I'm no expert on these things.
No, not mine.
I know what
Let's looks like. Should we actually talk about some of the people before it comes
Who do we want, first of all, as Doctor Who, number 12?
I think Ben Miller would be brilliant, but I know we're not going to get him. You mentioned today, actually, earlier, that one name which I hadn't heard bandied around much at all, Sam Troughton.
Sam Troughton. Well, he was mentioned last time, back in 2009. Well, of course, he was in Robin Hood at the time, and a show that wasn't altogether great, but he was one of the good things about. And he's come out of nowhere today, thanks to a tip from someone who we will refer to on air as Morgus.
Okay.
That's his nom de plume. And betting has reflected this. So where it's come from someone else through Morgus, and it's certainly done. The rumour's done enough to affect the betting. But I think as things stand at the moment, Peter Capaldi of The Thick of It, is still leading. And I think the betting has probably closed by now anyway. So, is there anyone else? How do you feel about Peter Capaldi?
I've always said, I've been saying on Facebook today, my main interest in this is actually more to see how ballsy the BBC is in its choice, because there would be obviously a very natural inclination, given that it's trended so well in the US with Smith, to stick at that sort of age and that sort of personality. So if they go to Capaldi, that's a very different group, a different person, which you're not sure whether that would naturally flow into the same sort of demographics which have been surging under the sort of sexy foire nature of Tennant and Smith.
Well, go on.
No, I was going to say, I think that would be quite a dangerous move and a bold one, but a good one.
It would bold. It would be bold. It would be good. I don't think Moffat's really a demographics kind of a guy, is he?
No.
He strikes me as someone who just writes, in terms of, you know, things he's done in the past. The series he writes, just the series that he writes because he's a writer, and that's what's come out of him. I think, obviously, we're aware that there are other people with their fingers in this pie, such as BBC America. I'm not saying they've got a decision, but you know, it's high up to BBC Wales and BBC One.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of consultation. I believe there was a lot of consultation on this. It wasn't something solely Stephen was able to rush through on his own. So mm-hmm. I think a few names, which in a sense could dilute the end result, which is what would be interesting, because you've got a lot of people who have to. What the hell is Lisa Tarbuck doing in this? What's her
question? Well, if we just switch back to the TV there, dear listener and dear viewer, there's a panel of guests, some of which are celebrity guests. We've got Peter Davison, the Fifth Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside him is Lisa Tarbuck. Not sure why she's there, really.
No.
Maybe she's worked with the Doctor. No, don't know.
Has she worked at all in the last 6-7 years?
She was in a show that Russell T. Davies once wrote some episodes for.
No, there we go.
And there's a kid off Outnumbered as well. Now, this is what I was talking about a little earlier, really. This is, it's all a bit reality TV, this whole hoo-ha and everything about it, isn't it? And, you know, there's people on Facebook, I mean, and Twitter, I mean, is this Doctor Who's jumping the shark moment? Is the Fonz putting his...
But surely, in a sense, you could argue it's the opposite. Surely it's a defining moment that in its 50th year, that it's actually, for the second time, but by looks, you know, it's had a programme dedicated to an actor change. Now, I don't think there is any other show on the BBC at the moment who they'd even consider ever doing that with. So I think that shows it's still at its peak, which I think is a good thing. Because there's been a lot of people who have said this year that I've spoken to, and I could honestly agree with them. Perhaps this year would be a year to wind it down, you know, get to the 12th, maybe, you know, and give it a bit of a break. Not to finish Doctor Who, but just to give it a bit of a breather. So for the fact that it's still showing that they believe that there's people who watch this crap, like us. And let's be honest, it's crap, but we are still watching it. I mean, it's...
Well, just a quick hello to Kathy, who's watching us. So we have got a viewer.
Wow.
And she's just put a message on Castorbis.
Kathy, so, you loser.
Pay no attention, Kathy. You've done the right thing. You've done the right thing.
Switch us off.
She says she's so grateful for this. So.
And
that's really nice. I'm quite touched.
I've just had a message saying, see you later when it's Ben Miller. So another person who believes it's Ben Miller. Ben Miller's got a lot of following from everyone, bar the press.
Yeah.
And the actual casting, I think. I don't think.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Anthony Head would have been good. I knew a few years ago I would have said no to Anthony Head.
In 1995, 1996,
he was apparently auditioned then. I wouldn't have gone for him then, but now he's older, then definitely.
Oh, look, it's what's his name? The has-been.
Peter Davison.
No, the other has been. Smith. Matt Smith.
Oh, right. I'm a little bit behind you.
Oh, right. Sorry. I can tell you what's coming up next. Rory's punched the Doctor. Doctor's hitting Dalek.
You can actually see...
It's like timey-wimey stuff. Yeah,
it
I know.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I'm still looking at Zoe Ball.
Going back to Anthony Head, I mean, the good thing about Anthony Head is that Capaldi, I wouldn't think we'd be that much different. I mean, we've got a similar sort of age range.
Yeah, I think Head's 59, Capaldi's 55.
Oh, you are a smart man.
I've done my research.
Good.
I've been writing about this for the last 5 days.
True. Are you bored with it?
I'm bored with it. I'm not. I'm excited by it. I want. Do you know what? One of the ideas of doing this, we've been talking about doing a live hangout for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
For the podcast. And one of the reasons for doing it today was if it was Peter Capaldi, then I'm likely to get quite excited.
Okay.
Because I think the casting of an older Doctor and a Doctor who's played by an excellent character actor like Capaldi, represents a massive change in the direction of the show. And, you know, there's this thing about all the Doctors more or less talk the same way, and I think to a certain extent they do, but their characters are always different, and the character of the Doctor informs the direction that the show takes. So, a new Doctor would be... would be brilliant. We've just heard that you need to move and cut your hair because one of our viewers can't see the aquarium.
I'm not cutting my hair. My hair is my pride and joy. I still have it. It's keeping me looking youthful for the time being. You want to see the aquarium?
That's from ArielLion.com on Twitter.
You see, yeah. If you wanted, you could have a better way to see my aquarium. Just turn on to BBC One right now. Turn your face to your screen.
Well, we don't know where ArielLion.
Oh, that's it. They could be somewhere across the world, couldn't they?
Yeah.
You also see in the very corner. You can't really see it. There's a little canine there sitting on the top.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Watching.
Just about. And we've got lots of thank yous coming up on WordPress. So not a problem. It's something that we wanted to do, and we thought, what better way of doing it than doing it tonight?
It's a laugh, ain't it?
Well, yeah, it should be. And
it's more fun than watching the show.
I've had a few more of these.
Oh, yeah. If I was even a lad having one of my lemons, the sugar rush is good in those. Tell me.
So at the moment on the show, we've got Matt Smith chatting with his Sean Hare. And hello, Stephen Maxwell Lowe. He's watching us. He's got no cable, so he's relying on us.
Oh, that's cool.
This is good. We've got
this
people.
Is good. We've got people watching. We've got listeners. No, we've got videos. What was it? Watchers. We've got the watcher.
We've got watchers, yes.
Yeah, they've got the watcher.
There's always that bloke covered in the papier mâché, isn't it?
That's who the watcher was.
Yep. Okay, now, there are other guests on the show. After this VT has finished, we might be lucky enough to see some of them. I'm going to have to temper my comments about this, which is why I'm telling you now, whilst the clip's still running. I'm not particularly keen on something. I don't know why they've gone down this celebrity guest route. Do you have any thoughts on this?
No, well, it's because it's the standard frame. It's this very BBC approach, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this morning, Tom Spilsby of Doctor Who magazine, he was on BBC Breakfast.
Okay.
Why not have people like Tom Spilsby and Nick Briggs?
I imagine they're trying to sort of capture a feeling of the everyday person, which is, I suppose, what Lisa Tarbuck has always been known as.
Has she?
You know, well, you take Big Breakfast, which she did for a while. There was very much the presenting that was as if sort of like you weren't a presenter, you were sort of a guy in a house and a girl in a house chatting, and there was things going on. Maybe they're trying to make it feel like it's an everyman's thing and not have fans on there.
Okay, perhaps.
Oh, she's made comment to her massive ears. Bless Zoe Ball, that is. Zoe Ball has just made comment to her massive ears.
Her own massive ears?
Yeah, her own massive ears, which I think is a sweet thing to say, especially since she's done a lot of she's done a very good job to actually hide them under her massive hair. But which is funny, because that was always her trademark, was her ears. I don't think they were a bad thing, personally. But
Oh, yes.
We can't stop. We can't stop.
Yes, we're talking about gender.
We are. Are we talking about gender?
Oh, you've got to miss it.
Yeah.
And of course, we discovered earlier today that, and I've just gone on to mute. So excuse me a moment, just while I fix my.
You've gone on to
my
mute.
iPad. Yeah, my iPad. I can't hear.
Oh, I see what you mean. You've gone to mute.
Show.
On the iPad.
Yeah.
Right. I thought you'd gone to mute, and I thought we had a problem there.
So, we discovered today that the photographer. Who's done the promo images, which we'll hopefully have available after the show, thanks to BBC Pictures, has described the new Doctor as a he. Now, this didn't come as a particular surprise to me.
Janet Fielding.
Yep, we'll see her shortly, and Annika Wills, and some other people.
You mean Bonnie Langford, who's just there?
Lovely Bonnie Langford.
And William Hartnell and Carol M. Ford, obviously not in the flesh.
Not in person, yeah.
So, sorry, you were saying?
We now know that we have got a...
Oh, honestly, Stephen Hawking, what have you
Mr.
got to do with
Doctor,
it?
As opposed to Mrs. Doctor. Now, what I want, personally speaking, is I want a Doctor Who and not a Doctor Student.
Oh, I see what you almost did there.
I did that, yeah, almost.
Have you heard any other good ones like that? I heard one today, a video game friend of mine did Doctor Who Cares.
Right.
It was very, very good negative.
Is he a Doctor Who fan or?
No, he was sounding out on Facebook to see who would actually rise to the bait and then defriend them, which I thought was a very smart move.
Okay. Interesting, I've just seen Annika Wills there. And Mr. Gareth Cavanagh gave us an interview with Annika Wills.
Yeah.
From 2007, which we haven't used yet. And I think we probably need to get that online as soon as possible. I was actually there when he conducted the interview at the Cavern Club in Liverpool a few years ago. So it was quite good. It was one of the first ones she'd done after she came back from the wilderness back in the Doctor Who fandom. So we'll get that live at some point on Castovers. It's a good read from memory. So on TV at the moment, we've got various clips. We've got Janet Fielding. We've got a dummy falling backwards over some scaffolding. We've got Bonnie Langford. We're looking at clips of the Fifth Doctor and the Sixth Doctor, and there's the Fourth Doctor. We've had Annika Wills, who I've just mentioned, and we've, for some reason, Chappie Cossandy, who's usually very good value on telly, just popped up.
One of my little sources for information has just sent me a comment on Skype, and it's this punctuated with a full stop is punctuated with a small stop, full stop, slow punctuated with a full stop, torture punctuated.
Are they talking about us?
No, they're talking about this dire show, this dire montage of can we hold off what everyone's really here to watch?
Yes.
For as long as possible. Well, though, no, to be fair, it is entertaining. They have got people on board. I mean, you were saying they've not got many people representative of Doctor Who on their small panel, but so far the majority of this show has been vox pops of cast and crew of and, the show's history.
Yeah, I agree. Hello, Rachel Montgomery as well, who's listening to us in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, Chicago.
Hello. Excellent. We're That's worldwide. What I really want to know is if we've got any American, beg your pardon, any Australians listening, because of course it's very, very early there. That will be exciting. So if you are in Australia watching this and you've got access to Twitter, or you can comment on...
You'll have more... Oh my God, just tell Katie us. Manning was on.
Was she?
Yeah.
My dad always says she looks like her own grandmother.
She looks like a... She's got more akin to a Jim Henson puppet in some respects. She's almost like animatronic permanent excitement on her face that you feel could only sort of stay there if it was held there by wires and paper mache. It's an incredible face. I find it fascinating. And she seems a lovely lady. But
let's not get unkind about people. Though.
I was trying not to be unkind because I do actually find her fascinating. But when I see her...
She always seems lovely and she's had such a crazy life as well. So, yeah. Oh, James Moran isn't tweeting us, but he's getting frustrated as well on Twitter. And hello to Nicole Seltzer.
Hey, Bernard Cribbins.
Oh, the Cribster. Is he in person?
He is, yes.
Excellent. Oh, you can't beat Bernard Cribbins. I'm tempted just to stop talking to listen to him, but I won't. What we will do, though, is, because there's been some suggestion, and in fact I've seen on Twitter even from Sawbones Hex himself, Colin Baker, that the we're for sound. That Colin Baker and Peter Davison have kind of been sort of called in to give advice to the incoming Doctor, which seems, what advice could they give, possibly?
Absolutely.
Do 3 years? What's it going to be?
I don't know. I.
What advice would you give the new Doctor?
I would probably say don't read the internet. Don't listen to Hangouts. I think to a certain degree, I think you do have to divorce yourself from opinion, especially nowadays where the social media sphere allows us to have baseless opinions like this, and it can be quite startling because it's just like just then we were talking and I just sort of rattled off about jokingly about Katie Manning. Then afterwards I was thinking, my God, you've got to remember that this is live. These are people and stuff that you would say as your mates, you just say on the social sphere, and you can hurt people's feelings or you can make people feel very angry. And I think for that reason, because I think there is a natural inclination to do that, even if you're not a troll or someone trying to hurt someone's feelings. If you're in a high-profile position like Doctor Who, you probably are best kept away from it because you will get people who will make opinions. And it's not because they're nasty. It's just because people do say what they think. They forget. We're so connected to this social media sphere. It's very easy just to say stuff that you're not aware will have impact on other people. So, yeah, if I was a doctor, I would stay well clear. That would be my advice. Stay clear, stay focused. 3 to 4 years, I think, is good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like good advice to me. And obviously, you've never played the doctor.
No, I've not.
So, that's based on...
Absolutely, no experience whatsoever. Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the other problem with the media sphere, isn't it? Is that we don't really have any opinion to make our baseless opinions, apart from the fact that they're our own opinion. And it's a kind of weird world. And I think that can probably be quite a scary world in a weird way. It must be a lot more claustrophobic now than even when Tom Baker was doing it.
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
Definitely, yeah. And that must be something, which is why I think a lot of the bigger names that have been mooted for this role won't be looking at getting this role, because it's just too much hassle. If you've got a good career, why the hell? Now, that's not to say that people who get it haven't got a good career.
Sure.
But if you've got a career which is going in a certain way, which you're positive with and you're happy with, Doctor Who, I think, could be just, it's more than an acting job now. Well, perhaps it's always been more than an acting job.
Well, I think certainly since this, well, yeah, I guess it has, because you know, Hartnell did personal appearances. I'm not so sure about Charlton. He may have been too busy driving around London, dropping money off at various houses, as per the story. John Pertwee.
Money shots.
Steady. John Pertwee, obviously, and Tom Baker.
Yeah.
Maybe it went down a little bit in the 80s, I don't know. I see Stephen Moffat's on screen at the moment, at your end.
Yes, he is.
So that's something to look forward to. If you are in the UK watching this, why you would be watching this and those at the same time in the UK, you must really like Casterbridge. That's all
absolutely.
I can say. Rufus Hound. I'm glad to see shaved, frankly.
Good.
Was never keen on his facial.
Let's say Stephen's looking very casual for the occasion here.
Stephen Moffat, he's looking very afro as well.
He's got a little bit of
very short hair.
Seeing a little bit of a hairy chest there as well. He's exposing.
Well, he's very hot in the UK at the moment. I shouldn't think that should become as much of a surprise. And of course, the BAFTAs on his mantelpiece will radiate heat as well.
Oh, well, maybe so. I just wondered whether he was trying to extend a little bit more moth appeal out there.
A bit more what?
Moth appeal.
Moth appeal.
Yeah, it's a bit like sex appeal, but perhaps not quite as much.
Okay, well, hello to India, Chandan Sengupta. Apologies for mispronouncing your name there. Who's watching us in India with no broadcast there. So this, we are all Chandan has for this particular purpose, obviously not in live, but to find out what's going on here. And Fairy Nursery in Canada, above the 60th parallel. Forgive my ignorance. Does that mean it's particularly cold?
I don't know. I wasn't listening. I was too busy looking to see if there was anything on Twitter more interesting than you. But there isn't.
Okay. Well, of course there isn't. That's silly. Now, how far... we are 25 minutes through the show.
Good Lord.
It's and now, as far as I'm aware, this is a 30-minute broadcast. And hello to James Sutton, who's watching us in Alaska. So this is a 30-minute show, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
And hello, Amy Espeseth. 4:25 a.m. in Melbourne.
Good Lord.
You are amazing, Amy.
You are the ultimate Doctor Who fan.
That is passion, absolutely.
Are you proud to be a Doctor Who fan today?
Who, me?
Does it make you proud, yes? Or does it make you slightly embarrassed? Does it make you... do you think about such things?
I like the fact that we've all come together on Twitter and online and on Facebook and on Casterbus and the two of us here, and our 164 viewers, it says at the top here, hello to you all. That something's brought us together like this, in this way. And, you know, at the moment on TV, they're talking about the really interesting stuff, like whether it should be...
I think this might be it coming up.
So I think we're coming close to it now, so apologies if we suddenly stop. But, you know, it'll be for a very good reason. I think it is good. I'm not keen on the show. I think, you know, we're coming up to the reveal now, by the looks of things. And so I'm probably best handing things over to you, James.
Well... I think this is it. Here we go. Oh, there's a hand. I think that's meant to be... It looks like David Tennant's hand. No. And it looks like quite an old hand. It looks like an older hand. Is it Capaldi? Is it? Is it Ben Miller? It is Capaldi.
It's Peter Capaldi. He's a 12th Doctor.
Peter Capaldi, yes.
Peter Capaldi. 55-year-old Peter
Good
Capaldi.
Good Lord, he looks like an older version of David Tennant there. Yes.
Well,
there we go.
Well, Scotsman.
You can see the flashes behind where you won't be able to see him, but that's him there.
That is an old hand. I've just
it
seen
it. It is
there.
An older hand. You've seen the older hand, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm a good 10 seconds behind you.
Peter Capaldi. Well. We all thought it might be him. There was a large surge of interest in him last week, wasn't it? About Wednesday or so.
Yes, indeed.
And yes, it looks like that surge was for a good reason. It was a good reason the bookies suddenly went to work virtually a one-to-one chance on Peter Capaldi, because it is Peter Capaldi.
It is Peter Capaldi. Would it be fair for us to say there's been some insider betting there from the BBC?
It makes you wonder if someone
knows.
It does
make you wonder, yes. And, you know, Sam Troughton would be an interesting prospect, I think, as well. Lot of names that were on the list seemed like very fascinating prospects. Some not so much, but Peter Capaldi, for me, as soon as his name came out there, that was the one for me. You know, I've wanted Sean Pertwee for years, but I don't think that's ever going to happen now. But this is exciting.
You can see now, with it being Peter Capaldi, why Jean-Louise Coleman was saying that it was going to be such a life-changing moment for the show. It was going to change the direction of the show anyway.
Yeah.
Because if you take Matt Smith as a very young doctor, you couldn't really get a greater contrast, really, than possibly with a dead doctor, which would be a very boring regeneration, maybe.
Yeah.
Than someone who is, you know, a good 20, 25 years his age. Not just in looks, but also be in acting style. You've got a different acting style. Why are you smirking? You're irritating me,
Corey. I do apologize. I'm not smirking at you, James. I'm listening to Mr. Capaldi, to be honest with you.
Capaldi.
And he's just said that he hasn't played Doctor Who since he was 9. And if you want more information about Peter Capaldi's long-term Doctor Who fandom, pick up a copy of Keith Miller's The Official Doctor Who Fan Club. This is Volume 2. I'm not sure if he's mentioned in Volume 2 or not. He's certainly mentioned in Volume 1 as running a competing fan club. And it makes for a very interesting read. It really, really does. So, the 12th Doctor, an older actor. We're going to be going into a very different area now, aren't we?
Yes, very much so.
You know, we had the 2010, we had the fairy tale, or the dark fairy tale, or whatever, which was perhaps inspired, certainly looks-wise, I think, was like the vortex that they had at the time. And it had that dark fairy tale look, which might have been inspired by the Alice in Wonderland film, for instance. And there were some sort of like similarities in tone. And then we obviously had things start getting a bit more timey-wimey with the 2011 run. But all the while, there has been that same sort of tone to the show.
Mm-hmm.
The wandering stuff, the exploration, all that kind of thing. What do you think? Where do you think this is going to go?
I don't know. I think where it's going to go could go in two very largely different directions. I think it all really does come down to the crux of whether Moffat is on for the next season or not. And that, I would still say, could be something that's in the air.
Moffat leaving?
Yeah. I still reckon whether it'll be this next season or before this next season, I think Moffat will go. And they've got a letter from Peter Capaldi as a kid. I think that would be the defining difference in the direction. I don't think if Moffat stays on, I don't imagine it's going to go in any massively different directions. I've not seen anything so far in Moffat's tenure, which is particularly, as you said, really deviated much. But if it goes under a different showrunner, then I think all bets are off as to how they would do it.
Okay.
Especially because now it's in a new, it's in its what, fifth, sixth year coming up. It's going, no more than that, isn't it? Eighth year.
Since 2005, yes.
Since 2005.
Yeah.
It's going to need, it needs revitalising. I mean, and hopefully, as you say, an older actor like Capaldi might be it just on that alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was about to mention that someone's also tweeted this. It's not the first time he's going to be in Doctor Who, is it? Because he was, of course, in the wonderful, funnily enough, James Moran gets a second mention on today's podcast. The Fires of Pompeii back in 2008.
And he was in Torchwood as well.
Of course he was in Torchwood, Children of Earth, yes.
Oh, brilliant. I got a look of thinking on your face then. Did you see that, dear listeners? He hadn't
researched that one.
So he's had two, technically, in the universe.
Yeah.
One on Doctor Who, but sorry, yes. So yes, not his first time on the show, but then, as we've said before many times, Colin Baker, Maxwell,
Ark of Infinity.
Ark of Infinity.
Absolutely. Do forgive me, I'm just a little bit of a cast over admin here.
It's kind of fascinating, because this is a having such a large age gap, and this sounds like a very trivial and a very morbid point, but I think it is actually quite an interesting point on an intellectual level.
Okay.
Capaldi obviously being an older actor, we're talking of sort of the age of the old doctors, and a doctor who perpetuates for another 20 years, I think it's kind of weird. We're so used to the doctors being left, being the youngest, and that suddenly changes.
Yes.
The doctors being left will not necessarily be the youngest people.
That's a very interesting point.
And I say it's not. It sounds a bit bad taste in a way, and I suppose it is, but on a purely intellectual, social media level, I think it's quite a fascinating projection for the future. But I think, yes, I think it's been a very good bit of casting. I give the BBC kudos for making such a bold choice.
Do you think Matt Smith was a bad choice?
No, I don't. I think Matt Smith was a dangerous choice in some respects. I still believe Matt Smith struggled initially. Mm-hmm. I think, as I've said many times on our Casterbrus podcast with the K, that the role is better suited to an older actor because it is a role that requires either a real gift for acting or a lot of experience acting, or preferably both. So I think going to an older actor is sensible. A young actor was very risky. Smith did a fantastic job at it. I have no qualms with the actor at all. I think he's been brilliant throughout, and a true testament to the show.
He's been very good. I mean, he's definitely improved. Although, you know, you could say he's improved as he went on, but the first thing that they recorded was the Weeping Angel story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was marvellous in that.
Yes, he was. I mean, I think maybe, but at the same time, this is where it becomes a difference between... it's the issue with acting, is there's a natural thought, if you're not an actor, to assume that your first moments on the set will be the hardest in trying to be that character, where in fact the hardest trying to be that character is defined by the scenes rather than necessarily the experience, if that makes sense. So you something like the statues, the weeping angels, is quite a straightforward affair, I'd say, as an actor. You've got a very very structured action story to play through. Doing a debut character is a very different sort of acting style, I think, and that's why I think when he did 11th Hour, he seems a little less comfortable than he would do in The Silent, in Weeping Angels, because it is a very different beast to have to handle.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was quite ready for it in a weird way. Other people disagree with me, but I think he looked awkward in 11th Hour, the first 20 minutes. But I would say that those openings for any doctor are the hardest things, probably the hardest parts of the role to do.
Well, but am I right in thinking... we don't know in what order Chris Eccleston's series was filmed, but I think maybe Rose was the first one that they recorded.
Yeah.
David Tennant, on the other hand, when a new doctor comes in, had been quite often done since Peter Davison days to record the very first story after they've bedded in.
Yeah.
And David Tennant's, they didn't, did they? They did the Christmas Invasion first of all.
Yes, that's true.
So,
but his was a very strong debut. In fact, his debut was so strong, Christmas Invasion. New Earth, actually, aside from the fact that I know a lot of people don't like yourself, don't like the story, or the basics of the episode, he seems almost muted and or even neutered in New Earth than he does compared to the fantastic opening of a Christmas Invasion. So,
well, perhaps one of the reasons of that is this messing around with gender thing.
Well, yeah,
I don't want to get into the whole female doctor thing, but that, you know, that ridiculous thing. You know, Zoe Wanamaker, brilliant actress, but was there any need to bring back Cassandra? And if there was, did it really need to go into that sort of ridiculous sort of ethereal gobbing on each other?
Well, it didn't have a doctor moment as well. I think that was the problem with the episode. Christmas Invasion works is it is when he comes on board, he is largely an utter doctor moment, isn't it, for about 15 minutes. But with New Earth, there is no Doctor moment. It is gender swappings, and then it's sort of the Doctor moment falls virtually on an action scene with him in the trying to sort out the fluids, and then the face of Beau takes over for the last bit. So there isn't anything for him to eat to bite on there. And suddenly you're starting thinking, my God, he was so good in The Christmas Invasion. Now he seems a bit bland. So in a sense, maybe it was better for the for Smith to have a weaker... Well, I know, I wouldn't say he was weak in the beginning, but I don't know. It didn't feel very natural to me. But
right.
Beyond that, he's felt utterly natural. I've never doubted him for a minute. So, yeah, but as I say, I think you're in better hands if you have an older actor. And you've got good casters, and regardless of what one thinks of Stephen Moffat or Russell T. Davis or the like, so far, their casting, certainly for the Doctors, and to be fair to the Companions, give or take maybe one or two, in my opinion, has been pretty damn good. So I imagine he's perfectly suited to do this, Capaldi.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because well, naturally, we can't just say just because you're an older actor, you're going to be naturally suited to playing the Doctor.
No, but, yeah, well, yeah, you could, I mean, there's, yeah, I mean, another name that was mentioned earlier on was Martin Clunes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's appeared in Doctor Who, and of course, he's an older actor these days as well, isn't mm-hmm. he?
Yes. But I mean, he's a good example, as the, you will find with the majority of actors, is that their strongest performance come later in their careers.
Yeah.
Which ironically is, well, not necessarily ironically, but conversely, is never the same with comedians. I always tend to find the comedians' best work is always very early on in their careers, and later on they seem to wear. But with actors, it always seems to be the other way around.
I think comedians have this... They tend to fall back on early material a lot, don't they? Or earlier styles to their material. You know, like later in life, they're still harking back to their successes, whereas actors don't, because the nature of the acting work, I suppose, that they're forced to take on new scripts and new ideas, new characters, etc. Whereas comedians can rely on past glories, much in the way, I suppose, a lot of musicians do.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. I realise I've not actually looked the listener directly in the face this whole time, so I thought I should do now, and or listener, or video watcher, video voyeur, you disgusting pervert. Hello there.
Well, this is probably a good time to mention, I wouldn't normally sort of bring up this sort of thing on a podcast, as we're kind of doing it live. We had a message on Castabras on the WordPress page from Azulakaji. I know nothing more about this person, who tells us, she might be a lady, he may be a gentleman, one of you is super hot, can you guess which one? Now, I know for a fact that it is me, that is why I'm drinking this, because it is boiling here.
Well, I'm still looking lovingly at my lemon drop. I've had an interesting message via Skype from a friend of mine, Pat, who is, I mention his name, Pat, because he'll be disappointed to know that he's been mentioned at all on this.
Okay.
Disgusted to know. He said, if you get a chance, have a look at Capaldi, the role Capaldi's playing in World War Z, or Z, as we should
doctor,
say.
Isn't he? He's a World Health Organization doctor, yeah.
Is that coincidence, or I assume they probably knew.
Presumably.
If they knew, if he, you know, giving what he was doing this year, or he, by talking, does that, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting, yeah.
Doctor Who? Oh my God.
What's that?
It was just the whole revelation of that. It made me just blur like the Flash in excitement.
It made you what with excitement?
Blur. Visually.
I thought you said blush.
My frame rate. Blush. No, I'm not blushed yet. Although I do offer my humble apologies to Katie Manning for making comments about her excited look that she has so frequently. I do feel a bit bad about that. I am human. I'm not just digital.
Are you sure about that?
Cut me, do I not binary? I don't know.
Now, we have got the photo of Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're doing Casterbra stuff in there.
That is exactly what I'm doing at the moment. So apologies
for my
bad
maths. I'd have taken over. I'd quite happily hark on to various subjects. I miss Brian Terranova. I've even got
my plastic
sonic screwdriver.
If the T-Dude was here, actually, wouldn't it? It would be very useful. Unfortunately, Brian, he's probably watching us, actually. He's chuckling to himself. I don't know. I have no idea what he's doing.
You dirty boy, yeah.
He's in America, and obviously we're in the UK. We're not even in the same part of the UK.
No, we're not.
The magic of the World Wide Web.
I'm in the classy part.
Well, that's fine, and I'm in the industrial part.
I'm glad you did that. I didn't really want to make any rather nasty slurist disparity between North and South there. I'm glad you did it for me.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right.
I come from Manchester, so I feel I can make those horrible. You're even further north than that, so.
Up in. Aye, indeed, yeah. Aye. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, aye. And, we've just updated CustService now with the new image of Peter Capaldi, so if you want to take a look at that, if you're capable.
I mean, if you're actually listening to us, if you're listening to me, what do you do, listener? What are you thinking now about Capaldi? Well, what are your
feelings?
Tell us,
what do you think?
What the hell? This is a chance. You've got Fields.
Is he too old? Tell us, and we will pass it on to...
Because we're here. We're here now. We've got your chance.
We've actually lost 100 viewers.
So, yeah, because they've all sodded off now.
Everyone knows it's Peter Capaldi now.
But anyone who's left...
Peter Capaldi says, like the Doctor himself, I find myself in a state of utter terror and delight.
That's an interesting conceptualization of who the Doctor is, I suppose. So that's quite accurate, actually.
Or perhaps who his Doctor is.
Well, that's a good question. What will his Doctor be?
Well, he'll be visually older. He'll have a different face. Hello, Alex Ty, by the way. He'll have a different face. He will be a different person.
Yeah, okay.
His relationship with Clara will change.
Yeah, let's give that as a given, that he will be a different physical person played by a different actor. Okay, let's assume we've got that right.
Okay.
But, I mean, as a personality, there is a certain differences, because you'd have to say that, I don't know, let's say Colin Baker compared to Sylvester McCoy, or Paul McGann versus David Tennant, very different ways of playing them, William Hartnell versus Patrick Troughton, etc., etc. Will he be playing a young man in an older body, or will he be playing a more dignified, older, eccentric man than the sort of young, virile youthfulness of Matt Smith?
I don't know. I'm thinking that, given the sort of characters that we've seen him play before, and of course he's very well known for one particular character, Malcolm Tucker in The Thick of It, I wonder if we're going to have a Doctor with... We were talking about this the other day with Paul McGann, with the Eighth Doctor's steel. I wonder if that's what we're going to get from him. One moment he's a bit of a pussycat with a kind of, perhaps a sort of professorial relationship with Clara, mm-hmm. and as soon as the mood goes, then he's suddenly very dark, very steely, determined. More like that than perhaps the last 55-year-old to play the Doctor.
I think he'll be... I have a feeling he'll be a more dignified Doctor, I think.
Right.
I don't think he'll be... I'm wondering whether it'll be of a more of a cry towards what I'd imagine Richard E. Grant would do than say, Paul McGann, someone with a bit of a harder edge, occasional softness. Eccentricity probably played a lot less, with a lot less energy and vibrance, as say David Tennant, or perhaps a little more like Eccleston in some respects, not in that sort of roguish northerner sort of way, but in a less physically eccentric sort of way. I mean, it's very interesting, because there's so many ways you could play it and how you should play it, because in a certain degree it's become more of an issue now that we're in a world where there is so much social media, where it's now internationally such a big thing. But it's a big thing for being Matt Smith, and it's a big thing for being David Tennant, rather than a big thing for being William Hartnell or John Pertwee or Sylvester McCoy.
Mm.
So people watching it, a vast majority of people watching it, will have the concepts of Smith and Tennant in their heads far more than they would John Pertwee and William Hartnell.
Or even Christopher Eccleston, to be
Or
honest.
Even Christopher Eccleston, yes, that's very true. So will they play to those expectations, or will they, again, as they've done with the casting, defy those, and, as I say, move them into a role which is less the sort of errant schoolboy of Tennant and Smith?
Well, you know, you mentioned Christopher Eccleston initially, and I do like that idea, and I'm a big fan of Series 1. I thought Series 1 was excellent. Yeah, someone put on Twitter before who said something how Russell T Davies' second Doctor, Doctor Who got better, right? Well, I don't think he got better. I think it suffered in the 2006 series, apart from a handful of episodes. Most of it was pretty mediocre compared with the run that went before. Eccleston was excellent. The writing for Eccleston's series was excellent. I think that's probably because they knew that they had to be good episodes. Even the Slitheen episodes were well written.
Yeah.
And dialogue was good. Of everything you'd expect from a Russell T. Davies. You know, a year later, we were struggling with Fear. So. And I just think that they knew where the bar was, and Russell T. Davies pushed it a bit higher. And perhaps the writers and the producers and the directors were more comfortable in a bad way with the 2006 season. So I don't think it was better. I think this is an opportunity to change Doctor Who considerably, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about this, and you specifically have talked about this, about even the option of bringing in a third wheel again.
Yeah.
And
well, we've got an older Doctor. Who's going to do the running?
Well, exactly. So you could be playing the same thing as was the same reason Harry Sullivan was brought in, obviously Ian Chesterton and Stephen Taylor.
Yeah.
It's to play those. And I think that would be a brilliant... I think that is really necessary. Now, we're going to get over old ground, but again, what I think is vital is to get away from the backpacker scenario, which they've still got with Coleman's character, that she's there as a... you know, go backpacking around Europe sort of vibe, and actually have something a little different. Have people on board who have either got an agenda or have got no home or aren't just simply going for a laugh, which is what the Companions have been doing since 2005.
Yeah.
Bar Barrowman, really.
Can we?
Can we what?
Bar Barrowman.
Bar Barrowman. He gets everywhere.
Well, not on this evening's show. Clearly.
No. Well, that's actually a bit of a surprise, because you'd think he would... I'm sure he wanted to be there. I wonder if they put special Barrowman locks on the doors to ensure he can get in.
Barrowman security.
But he gets everywhere. YouTube recommended to me a video of the Star Trek captains talking.
Right.
Who was hosting it? Bloody Barrowman.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, why? What's he got to do with it? But apparently he had lots to do with it. And he did a very good job, to be fair to him. But, yeah, he gets everywhere.
Well, you know, he does get a lot of stick offers on the podcast. But, you know, he never comes across as anything but a nice chap.
And a fan.
And a fan of a lot of things.
And I have to say, I do actually genuinely, I'm one of those people who genuinely has always loved having his characters in the show. And while I thought Torchwood, as we've all said, was a variable affair, and I think there were times where Torchwood made it, I don't think it was his acting that was a problem, but I think they made the character too two-dimensional for him to really look anything but a bit silly. But I always enjoyed the character of Jack Harkness.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think he's great, and I think having a male companion is always good. So hopefully we'll get another one, another male companion, maybe someone like Rory or Ian Chesterton.
Hmm. Well, Rory was very good, wasn't Patrick. He, as well?
I thought Rory was very good.
Perhaps he was underrated in some people.
Well, I think, I mean, when 2010, when it came back and it was Doctor and Amy, I didn't feel at the time, regardless of what you think of Karen's acting, I don't think the role or the character of Amy, I don't think the character of Amy had enough substance to really stand alone with the Doctor.
Yeah.
And so I think Rory coming in really helped define her. I know, okay, it defined her as a wife, and as a mother, which I know some perhaps more feminist people, well, I'm quite fairly feminist myself, but there would be an argument from, say, a feminist viewpoint that maybe it'd been better to have had her in slightly more diverse roles to represent women than mother and a wife. But I think they helped give that character some anchoring.
Yeah.
So, and Rory obviously was a part of that. So yeah,
and a lot of women are mothers and wives as well.
Well, there is that. You can't hide away from that fact. And to be fair, she was a working mother as well. Yeah. She did a lot of things. She wasn't just a... But then again, there's nothing wrong with just being a mother. So
no, absolutely.
Here we are. Here I am doing my dance, my little Morris dance across minefields here of political social munitions. So,
well, you wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't a Morris dance, I don't think.
No, Morris dance is perfectly suited for any sort of minefield of political.
Yeah,
or social.
I think so.
Allegoric.
Well, you know, we're in a strange situation now, because obviously we're watching each other talk, which we don't normally do. Yeah, and thank God. And we have been at this for an hour.
Have we? Oh,
we have.
Sugar,
yeah, very nearly an hour. Yeah. Now we've got the new image of Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
On Castorbis at the moment. Yeah, with very I suppose the pose is along the lines of. It's enigmatic, really. It's an enigmatic pose that he's got there. With his,
I've not actually looked at Castorbis yet, so I will
take a look.
I'll have a look as I write it in live. Do I spell it right? Thank you, autocorrect. Oh yes, it's. I don't know. There's almost a slight whiff of a nose picking starts there. But never mind. We'll go with that.
Indeed. Now
that's good.
Now what I want to do, really. There isn't anything else we can say, and
no.
Until we know a bit more about the daughter, a bit more about the episodes. We've still got the 50th anniversary to get out of the way first. So we're down to 51 viewers now.
And everyone's going.
I think we've got a good idea of what our shelf life is. So, that's Turbridge Podcast with a K style. Have you got any recommendations for this week?
Recommendations? Well, I'd recommend Peter Capaldi. I believe he's the next Doctor. I think he'll be very good. I'm very much looking forward to Ben Miller on our screens.
In something else,
yes, quite sadly in something else. Have I got anything to recommend? I can tell you what I've been listening to. I've been listening to the commentary on the invasion of the dinosaurs, and it's a very interesting commentary. I have to say that. Toby Haddock does a very, very good job with Paddy Russell, who sounds like she's a lovely woman, but he has to really work to get that flowing in the commentary. And I have to commend him for that. She's very interesting. It's nothing against her, but you can hear him having a hard time trying to get that to flow. And as someone who's done interviews, I have sympathize. Kudos for him. So yes, Invasion of the Dinosaurs, I think, is mine. The only other thing I've got, which I've not listened to yet, if I can find it, is the Doctor Who Blur of the Blurriness. I can't even remember. The Library of Alexandria.
Okay.
Which is
that camera shot was pretty much as blurry as it would have been originally watching it, had it been made.
Yes, it would have. But
so
it's,
well done for the evocation. That was brilliant.
It was, wasn't it? It was very good. This is perfect. I mean, look, I can do like Doctor Who from the 60s. I know it's not black and white, but I've got this roll-on deodorant here, which will make a perfect shuttle, just sort of moving into view. There we go. There we go.
With a little jazz quartet in the background.
With a little jazz quartet in the background. I've got other stuff I could use. A USB drive could be another ship, I suppose, maybe.
This is going to be brilliant on the audio.
Zooming in like they do in Doctor Who when they zoom in too close to the model. And you're thinking, oh, don't get that close, it's too obviously a model.
If you're listening to this on the audio version later on, that was... a bit of special effects there from James McLean. My own recommendations, well, what have I got? Really, what have I got? What have I got? What have I got? I don't really have anything new, really.
What about that magazine?
Which one?
The one you showed me just before we went on air.
Well, I'm going to come to that in a moment, actually.
All right, okay.